Today on Real Radio.
There is no such thing as worship unless you determine to deliberately sacrifice the most important thing that's going on in your life. You take your concern, or you take your prosperity, or you take your health, whatever it is, you take whatever you are and you present it before Him and say, Lord, I'm healthy. I've got two legs. I can move. Take my health and use it to your glory. I worship you. Lord, I've got a couple of bucks in my pocket. I give it to you. Use it to your glory. You'll be a worship maniac. That's who you'll be. You'll be an example to all of us.
You make me. Break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his study series through the Gospel of John. We're looking at chapter 12 in the first 11 verses. The scene is Jesus coming to Bethany just a few days before the Passover. They're about to sit down and break bread together. Jesus and Martha and Lazarus, whom Jesus had recently raised from the dead, are about to sit down and dine together. And that's when a woman took a pound of ointment, quite costly in fact, and anointed the feet of Jesus. A lot to be learned when it comes to the attitude of worship in this passage. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Lord, Teach Us to Worship.
We're to come into the presence of God in proskuneo. Lick His hand. Master, Lord, You're wonderful. I don't care if Your feet's dirty. I'm going to take my hair. I'm going to pour out my dowry, which, by the way, is worth a lot of money. Pour it out on Your feet with this fragrant oil. I'm going to wipe my feet with Your hair. That's a rather intimate position, unless your heart is full-blown bent on worship. And then it's a holy and anointed position. It's one that God wants us to have. It's one that if we're not practicing in our lives, what are we doing? Have we become so filled with the world that we can't worship anymore? If we're a Christian, we ought to be bent on worship. It should be an absolute natural thing in our lives, like breathing and eating and drinking and walking. Worship. What we drink, what we eat, what we wear, where we walk, if our heart's right, can be worship to God. What a great witness she gives us. She expresses her worship, and it blesses our hearts. What was in her heart, we can only guess, but could it have been the scriptures that she had? She had the Old Testament. In Isaiah 54, verse 5, the Bible says, "For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is His name, and your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth." She had that Bible. She knew those scriptures. Do you wonder, and I do, was that in her heart, that she does a very precious thing that's reserved for behind the scenes, closed doors, in an act of absolute appreciation? Could it be that she happened to have remembered? Like I remembered this morning, proskuneo, that she remembers, oh my goodness, Isaiah spoke about Him being my husband and my Maker. I'm taking my dowry and I'm pouring it on His feet. That's it. He's mine forever. Wow, I think so. I don't want to read too much into it. I kind of do, but could it be? I don't know, but I like that. It's kind of romantic. What was in Mary's mind? I'm not sure about that either, but Psalm 9, verse 1 says, "I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will tell of all your wonderful works." And there Lazarus, her brother, sitting there. What a witness. No wonder why he never opened his mouth. He just had to show up. He probably had a name tag, Lazarus. And people would say, he's the one. Jesus raised him from the dead. And she's looking and, "I'm going to worship you, God, for all your wonderful works." What was in her hand? Well, we know that she had spikenard. It's oil that has been fragranced. I guess you could use that word, huh? It's oil that's been perfumed. Very expensive. It wasn't that the oil was expensive. It was the perfume that made it expensive. So what was in her hand? Maybe She was thinking about Psalm 72, verse 11, where it says, yes, even kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And she's maybe thinking, if kings serve him, then it's best I serve him as well. I love what Moses said in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Moses said, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your what? Strength. Jesus said in Mark 12, 30, and you shall love the Lord with all of your love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. A bodily expression. And so she bows down and she worships him. Thirdly, under this point, verse 3, the latter end tells us that we need to be really looking for something costly to give to God in worship. Looking for what costs the most as a gift to God. It says Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard and anointed the feet of Jesus. The pound. Listen, the pound, that's a lot. By the way, it's not our pound. The word here translated would be equivalent to us 8 to 10 ounces of fluid. That's a lot of fluid if you think about it. By the way, they saved it up over the course of their lifetime, beginning with their parents. It was a dowry for marriage. Very costly. There is no such thing as worship unless what we give God cost us. Now, here's where the rubber meets the road right now for the believer. Some of you are going to care less about this, and that's frankly your problem. Some of you are interested in what I'm about to say, and some of you are saying, praise God, that's exactly what I'm doing now. You're going to be in one of a few camps with what is being taught here. There is no such thing as worship unless it costs you and I something. First of all, who we are. Watch this. When we come to worship him, listen, this applies to all of us. When we're tired, are you tired? I'm tired. Had a rough night. Had a rough week. Are you tired? You want to get through? You want to do God a precious blessing? You want to express your love? Yeah, I sure would, but I'm tired. Worship him now. But I'm tired. Worship him now. Oh, you're not hearing me, Jack. I'm tired. I'm telling you, you want to get untired? Worship him now. Well, I'd love to come and worship, but I am so stressed. The bill collectors will be at my door tomorrow. You want to be de-stressed? Worship now. Do you think I'm making this up? I'm not making this up. You think I'm just preaching right now because I got nothing else to do? I got a lot of things to do. I'm telling you this is true. You want to de-stress? Worship him now. Try it. You'll see. Are you in trouble? You want to make it through your trouble? Worship him now. What about, are you hurting? If you're hurting, worship him. No, Jack, you don't understand. I'm hurting. I need somebody to come and almost as it were, worship me with band-aids and with gauze and with encouragement. You want the greatest encouragement if you're hurting? Worship him. Are you in need of anything? Fill in the blank. Worship him. There is no such thing as worship unless you determine to deliberately sacrifice the most important thing that's going on in your life. You take your concern, or you take your prosperity, or you take your health, whatever it is, you take whatever you are and you present it before him and say, Lord, I'm healthy. I've got two legs. I can move. Take my health and use it to your glory. I worship you. Lord, I've got a couple of bucks in my pocket. I give it to you. Use it to your glory. You'll be a worship maniac. That's who you'll be. You'll be an example to all of us. Isn't it amazing that everything that you and I possess right now was given to us? I find that offensive. I've worked for everything I've got. I've climbed my way to the top. You couldn't have climbed your way to the top unless God gave you fingernails. You couldn't have climbed your way to the top unless God gave you air in your lungs to breathe. He gave you a mind to think. The degree that you have or the power that you possess, God gave it. Don't forget it. Or else, like Nebuchadnezzar, God might cause you to learn how to appreciate it and send you out for seven seasons in lunacy until he remembered that it was God who ruled the world, not Nebuchadnezzar. And that man, read Daniel carefully, Nebuchadnezzar's in heaven right now. We're going to see him. He issued a decree that the whole world should worship the God of Daniel because he's a good God, a forgiving God, a loving God. And in his decree, he worships God, a Babylonian. That's equivalent today for Saddam Hussein to come on the news and say, yes, listen, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Israel, worship him. He's the one. We've been wrong. It's the God of Israel. Can you imagine that? You'll have to just imagine that, because it ain't going to happen right now. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and this can be applied to any area of our lives, but 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 says, but this I say, that he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. That means if you sow a little bit, you're only going to get a little bit back. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. You see, the heart's the issue. Not grudgingly or not of necessity. I guess I got to give. No, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word in the Greek is where we get the English word hilarious. Isn't that funny? Hilarity. God loves a giver that's hilarious about giving. I'm not talking just money. Isn't it funny? As soon as I mentioned giving, you all thought about money, didn't you? You know why? Because in our culture, we struggle with worshiping God or money. If I were to quote this verse in Africa, North Africa, in the Sahara or somewhere, it would be water. It wouldn't be money. You can't drink coins. But if you're in the desert, it's water. And God says, give me your water. In fact, the best of your water, give it to me. Now, God's not being mean when he says that. There is no, it's my opinion, there's no greater display of trust and faith in God than true spiritual worship. Why? Because it translates into my physical world. How do you know if I love God, I will sacrifice my money to him? I will sacrifice my time to him. And in our culture, time is almost more valuable than money. I will sacrifice my health for him. I will sacrifice all for him. Why? In worship, he will give back, pressed down, shaken together, overflowing, because he will never become indebted to us. He will bless you more. Is that the reason why you should give? No. You give because he's worthy and you trust him. Give what? Give, you fill in the blank. The Bible tells us in Exodus chapter 35, beginning at verse 5, that there when all of the command was given that Moses should bring together the implements and the items of the worship of God and the ark and everything, the decree was made to all the people, bring all of your gold, your silver, your precious things, and this will be given to the Lord. And the people were joyful. The Bible said there that come with a willing heart. Man, if you're sitting here right now and you put some nickels, you know, in the offering when it came by this morning, you're thinking, man, I can't wait to get out of here. And I gave $5, you know, fee, boy. Listen, to do you a lot of help, see me after the service. We'll give you your $5 back. We don't need your $5. If that's the way you're looking at it, take your $5. So why aren't you worried about, you know, not being able to pay your bills? Never have, not once. Because they're not my bills. They're not your bills. They're his bills. And he always pays his bills. So good. It's the only area in God's life where he says, hey, concerning worship, try me. Did you know that? Come on, take me on and see if I don't bless. Isn't he radical? He's wonderful. Then very quickly, I'll just paraphrase it. In 2 Samuel chapter 24, beginning at verse 22, David was to make a sacrifice and offering to God. And there was a well-intending man that said, listen, I've got a threshing floor, David. I know that you want to worship God. I want to give you that threshing floor that you might worship the Lord your God with all of your heart, David. Here, take the threshing floor. Most people would have said, thanks, I'll take it. But not a man of integrity. Not a man who understood worship. David said, no, that's nice. Thank you very much. But I'm going to pay you for it quite well, by the way. And David paid the man for the land. And then David built an altar and sacrificed to God. And he said, Lord, I'm not going to give you anything that doesn't cost me something. That's worship. And I'm afraid in our lives, we're not that big on worship. We should be lined up at this door, waiting to get in to sing him songs. Why? Because it's our moment to give to him. The teaching now is the time that he gives to us. worship. Look what worship provides. The results of worship. The room is filled with the smell of fragrant oil. The room is filled with an atmosphere of loving adoration. Because one person worshiped in this manner, the whole room was affected. You could smell this incredible oil everywhere. And people saw what worship was all about. Second point this morning. Number 2, verses 4 through 6. Lord, teach us to worship. Well, we need to do this. We need to realize that there's a price to worship. Verse 4, then one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and that the money, that he had the money box and he used to take money out of what was put in it. That's John's words here. That guy's a crook. Of course, he's writing this and after the fact, you know. John knows. Judas pipes up. Hey, what's going on here? You know, there's always somebody around to quench the neat moment, you know. The price of worship? Some people will seek to mock you, my friend, verses 4 and 5. Isn't it tragic that it says one of his disciples, Judas? And he asked this question in verse 5, why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii? 300 denarii. Listen, 300 denarii in $1,999 is worth 11 million bucks, or 11,000 bucks. 11,000 bucks, which is a wage of a servant in that culture. That's a year's amount of money. Doesn't he sound spiritual? Hey, whoa. This money could be used for the poor. He sounds very spiritual. Kind of impressive, huh? Well, if you read the other scriptures where this is recorded, it certainly impressed every one of the other disciples. They went, yeah, that's right, yeah. Good call, Judas. We're with him. Mary, get up off your face. Woman, get out of here. He's got a good thing. That guy, that Judas, he really knows about money. They all chimed in the other Gospels, and it's record of it. Tragic. Some will seek to mock you. They'll say things like this. You give to your church? Sure do. What a joke. What are you doing that for? What about your time? I see you guys always going to church or doing church things. Don't you care about your time? What's wrong with you? They'll mock you. Some of you get out of bed in the morning and your husband or your wife, I know because I hear from you, they'll say to you, oh, there you go, little Miss Worshipper. There she goes, off to church. See you later, you know, Miss Holy Moly or Holy Molly, I don't know. Some of you come to church like that. That's the last word you hear when you leave your house and you come here and you're mocked. You know, all this energy you're spending on church and all the money you're spending on God and stuff, you know, you could really help the poor with it. Ooh, that sounds spiritual, doesn't it? So does people say, well, I don't go to church. It's full of hypocrites. I can't think of a greater expression of arrogance and pride than that. Because if a human has half a brain, no, if a human has a quarter of a brain, they will discern that all men are hypocrites. And women, all are hypocrites. But people will seek to mock you. Jesus said that we can either serve God or money, and Judas is interested in the money part. He's not interested in the poor. Not at all. The second consideration under this point is others will devalue your devotion. When he says it could have been given to the poor, now we've got Judge Judas here in front of us. And he's saying, hey, it should have been given to the poor. In other words, what he's saying, what I do and what I'm interested in is okay. That's fine. That's what I want. The thing that I'm suggesting is the good thing. Not worship. Do this thing. Listen, people. Key thing in our relationship with God. Don't ever put service ahead of worship. Ever. Don't ever head out on a mission or a task, even to reach the poor, without worship. If your heart is first not completely consumed with doing this to the Lord, it's His first, then it's wrong. It sounds good. It looks good. It might even smell good. But if your heart is not a worshiping heart, it is nothing but wood, hay, and stubble. Judas sounds right, but he's wrong. It's tragic. And so there'll be those to devalue. And we'll have to end on this third consideration under the second point regarding the price of worship. It is this: most will never understand. Most people will never understand your heart to worship. They'll think you're a Jesus freak, a born again one, those born anew people. Verse 6, this he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and that he had a money box and he used to take money out of it. He could not understand that worship had to be expensive. He couldn't get it. He did not understand. A lot of people are not going to understand. They'll devalue your worship. They'll mock you at worship. You know it's true. I know it's true. And I want to end with this thought. Love. Love is nuts. Love's crazy. You say, well, you mean you're talking about infatuation. No, I'm not. No, love's crazy. Love does amazing things like forgives. That's not humanly possible. It's crazy. Love does things like serves. Love is, instead of me coming up here and saying, oh, we need you to do children's ministry, ushers, carpet, windows, discipleship training, evangelism, missions outreach. That's not love. That's hype. That's pure junk. Come on, church, let's get pumped. Let's go do. Come on now. You can do it. You know how long that'll last? Till you get to the end of the threshold of the door out of this building. But if you love God, as my old football coach used to say, Katie, bar the door. Anybody from, okay, well, anyway, he was from West Texas. And that meant, look out, the gate's wide open. If you love God, you are hopelessly consumed in worship. Because you know what? You'll get up and it's like, Lord, what do you want? And you'll do crazy things. So to speak, pick him flowers, so to speak. Leave him messages on his phone, so to speak. You see what people do when they're in love with another person? Should it be limited to that? Or should we not equate it to God? I think so. I can't think of a greater thing in this life and in this world than for us to hone our life to worship.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, expressing his desire that all Christians should have an increased attitude of worship. This is a study called Lord, Teach Us to Worship, taken from John chapter 12 and verses 1 through 11. We'll continue with this series as we journey through the Gospel of John on our next edition of Real Radio. Meanwhile, though, you can get in touch with us by telephone. You can give us a call at area code 909-393-7100, or you can pay us a visit at www.realradioactive.org. And in fact, you can be a subscriber to our podcast of Real Radio at no charge. Again, that's www.realradioactive.org. Now, if you do prefer calling us, again, our phone number is area code 909-393-7100. Again, 909-393-7100. Now, remember that Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is a broadcast outreach of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and is able to continue because of your continued support. So prayerfully consider how much you can contribute, either as a one-time gift or as a continuing partner. Here's our address: Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. has been made possible by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.